Welcome to Lagniappe, a news feature of KEDM Public Radio with information on issues and events. I'm Bob Lennox. My guest today, Dr. John Sutherland with the Political Science Department at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. And Dr. Sutherland, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Looking at a discussion of the 10 amendments that will be coming up on the ballot Tuesday. And there's an interesting note, John, you point out that you have to remember that the legislature has already looked at these measures, and they are garnering support as folks head to the ballot coming up Tuesday.
Well, a lot of times when we look at these constitutional amendments, we ask ourselves, how in the world did something like this get on here? What's the explanation for it? And clearly, there will be a state legislature, someone from the Senate or the House side, typically sponsoring legislation that puts this on the ballot. So remember, we've already had two that passed in October. This will be another 10, so a total of 12, which is a little higher than average. I mean, most of the time we'll see 6 to 8. We've seen as low as 2, sometimes none. But one of the things that we do see a lot is a variation in support. I mean, we've had constitutional amendments. I mean, imagine amending our Constitution with about 9% of the elected or the registered vote in the state. Sometimes it's as high as 28% of the registered voters. But we're expecting low turnout. This is an off year. Most of the congressional races are pretty much decided, particularly in this part of the state. So we're likely to see less than 40% turnout for this, which means we're going to possibly amend our Constitution another 10 times with less than 50% support.
Looking at proposed amendment number one, speaking of salary increases enacted by law for certain elected state officials. However, it's talking about not implementing this until a subsequent term in office. So it kind of plays upon, John, I guess, not allowing those increases to go through until the next term would come about.
Yeah, you almost have to wonder why this. This is something that Senator McPherson out of Woodside sponsored here. What you find is the Constitution already provides a way to do this. Simply, if a raise was passed, they can build into it, into the statute, that this would not take effect until a certain date. So you almost have to wonder why this is required by the Constitution. But clearly, the change here would require that any increase in statewide salaries, public service commissioner, legislatures, would not take effect until the next term. So you would effectively have to be reelected or elected in that sense to take advantage of the higher salary increase.
Proposed amendment number two talks about decreasing the amount of taxes retained by the state on the severance of natural resources, dedicating additional severance tax revenues to parishes. You have those talking about an economic spark for parishes. However, there is the focus of state collections and the issues there with the economy.
Yeah, this one is a little complex, and really for all of these amendments, you know, voters need to get in there, and I always make myself a little cheat sheet going into it and saying how I decide or what the issues are. But for this one here, this is going to be a way to provide permanent protection and restoration to the Atchafalaya Basin. And so excess monies that would not have gone into this program would be. The problem was that when the law was initially passed back in 99, there was no way to constantly fund this program. So this is a way, one, for parishes to share more in the severance monies, but also provide additional monies to support a program for the Atchafalaya Basin. This particular one was put together by Representative Rick Gallo from Grambling. And so this one looks like it would probably have a lot of support, broad-based support, because the potential is that you're going to be able to impact more parishes with more money getting that severance money back.
Amendment number three that will be coming up on the ballot deals with homestead exemption for disabled veterans.
Yeah, it's almost impossible for people to vote against a bill that or an amendment that deals with veterans. And I would probably see this as something that would likely get a great deal of support. Representative Pope is the one that sponsored this amendment. And you're likely to see a great deal of widespread support. Louisiana per capita has one of the highest numbers of vets in the state. So you're likely to see this pass. And again, this would be only for those having a disability rating of 100% and certain surviving spouses. And that was the other key to this. It's not just for the vets, but also the spouses of vets as well.
Amendment number four that'll be coming up on the ballot. The power of taxing authority with a governing authority, which is not elected, to increase millage rates. We're getting to a millage situation here. What is the story on amendment number four?
Yeah, this one is a little bit tougher to dissect. Representative Arnold put this forward in 09, actually, and it's finally coming out. This one's a little tough because you have to sort of decide what is the difference here between elected and non-elected taxing bodies. And so One of the things when I first looked at it was, well, would this in any way affect those essential services that are taxing bodies, but they are not elected bodies, such as fire, police, water districts? Those things are going to actually be exempt from that. And so what we're going to find is this is going to limit that increase so you don't have something just explode on you in terms of a tax bill. I think many people find this kind of thing that they would be in favor of it, except if you're in those parts of the state that are experiencing high growth rates where your property values are increasing above the 2.5%. And so, you know, there are parts of the state where you have a greater than 2.5%, even when you add inflation in there. So you may see some resistance in pockets of growth, high growth areas. It would be interesting, though, to see how this plays in places like Orleans or Caddo, where they're going to have big races going on, because eventually it affects all of us statewide.
And amendment number 5, talking about the grace period associated with storm damaged residences and buildings, actually allowing a continuation of the homestead exemption and special assessment level that's ongoing.
The idea is pretty straightforward, that you would add a second 5-year exemption period. Right now, there are a series of exemptions you can get for homestead exemption assessments. This would allow a second sort of grace period for those. And you almost have to wonder, I mean, how many of those people who were affected, you know, 4 or 5 years ago still are on there? Mm. Well, obviously, Murray's still getting a great deal of calls. And if you go, travel into not just New Orleans, this affects everybody for storm-related, if you're displaced because of any kind of disaster, a whole series of things where you're just not able to build back as fast as possible. It's hard to imagine there would be a great deal of opposition to it, because in terms of the true numbers that it affects, it may be a very, very small number of people statewide, but for those individuals, it's quite important.
Dr. John Sutherland with the Political Science Department at the University of Louisiana at Monroe, thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely, thank you.
You can hear this and other Lanya podcasts by visiting the Listening Room online at kedm.org.